Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Some breaking news out of the sports world. Rafael Nadal.
Retired.
Called it quits.
Yeah.
22 grand slams.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You think Bobby Wood Jr. gets to 22 grand slams? He's at five.
Is he really a five grand slams?
I think he's the second most in franchise history.
Already?
Tied with Frank White.
Wow.
Your guy.
Yeah. 22 is a lot, though.
But a lot of grand slams.
You know what? What the hell? Yeah, let's take Bobby Witt passing Rafael Nadal for grand slams. I'll do that. He's got five, and he's got probably a good decade left of playing.
You
right?
know what? He'll decrease that deficit tonight.
Yeah, all right. So you think Bobby Witt's going grand slam tonight, huh?
I like that.
All right. Sweet. I'm good with that. Hey, if you want to come have a steak dinner this afternoon, 11 to 1, I'll be at Hy-Vee over in Mission right here on Mart Way. Come say hi. You get your $10 steak dinner all day long. You're going to get your steak. You're going to get your mashed potatoes. You're going to get your green beans, all for just $10, so you can feed the family. Maybe you want to grab that for lunch and then head on out to the ballpark and eat that in the parking lot or whatever you want to do. So go ahead and stop by Hy-Vee. Every Thursday is steak night at Hy-Vee.
Love that.
It's also Thirsty Thursday at Hy-Vee. So get your wine, your whiskey, your alcohol. And for every $50 you spend, you get 50 cents off a gallon of gas, too, on Thursdays.
Yeah, my buddy Nick was like, Marlins man's not wrong. They were actually terrible at pitching. Yeah. He's like, he's not lying. Yeah. I was like, well.
You know, I was getting texts last night, too, from a buddy of mine showing me the graphic of all these missed calls. I'm like, I just don't have time, you know, to go back and through that. But apparently, if they're not talking about Bob Costas today, they're talking about the strike zone and the Royals kind of getting squeezed a little bit on that. But again, as we've said, Dusty, through this whole series, do not leave it up to the umpires, right? Go out there and create your own sort of luck, if you will, however you want to phrase it. Mm-hmm. Do not go out there and let these umpires control it, because if you do, we know what side they're going to be siding with, as we've seen in two of the three games so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the other thing, too, is, you know, at some point you got to let the bats take over for the umpires. It's hard to do that, right? When there's more red than green.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, take advantage of the night. Elimination game, backs against the wall, house money. Got a stack of chips in front of your hand.
Yeah.
Throw them all in there.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know what? Double down when you're not supposed to double down and see what happens.
I'm excited to see how Q's going to manage this thing tonight. I mean, I know that's kind of geeky, right? And we don't get like into the geeky side of things, but aren't you kind of interested to see how he's going to manage this thing tonight when Irsay comes into the game? Is Vinny Pasquantino going to be in the lineup? Because you brought that up earlier, and you're not wrong by saying Vinny probably should get a night off tonight. You know, he's not been good since he's come back. And look, he's battling back from an injury they shouldn't even be back from. You give him all the credit in the world for that, but the numbers are what they are. Tommy Pham eats Gerrit Cole for breakfast. Tommy Pham needs to be in that lineup tonight.
I hope so. I mean, he got a chance last night, the last at bat of the game.
Yeah.
So hopefully he gets another chance tonight or some more chances. More texts coming in. Let's hope Marlon Van is right. They want five games, so do I. Let's wait to see if we win tonight.
Yeah, you know that's exactly right.
Might as well get it, you know? I mean, I would love a game five in New York. You think pressure's high on New York right now? You'd put a game five in the Bronx with the low market Royals coming into town. Cole Reagan's fired up even more, staring at Juan Soto, who did it again last night.
Yep.
Leans into the role of the heel. You love to see that and see a small market team like the Royals take advantage of that.
Did Jazz Chisholm grab himself when he was rounding first base last night?
No, he did get very, very close to Gurriel.
That's what that play. Yeah. Did he not do a little? Did he do that? Did he? I mean, do a little like, woo,
maybe
you know,
he was
move.
Thinking he's going to get lucky later on.
I don't know, maybe.
Welcome to Kansas City.
That's right. Yeah, but he did get very close to Yuli Gurriel, who, by the way, that's a guy you want in your lineup, man. At 40 years old, you know he's top 10 in baseball in postseason hits.
Yeah, he's been playing for 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, but like he comes up and you're like, I feel good about Yuli Gurriel coming up in this lineup right now.
Smacked a double to start it off, and then we didn't have a hit until like the seventh inning.
Yeah, so it happens.
That's right. We'll have Nate Taylor on there to decide to dive into some Chiefs bye week stuff and maybe some Rafael Nadal news, because we know he's a big tennis nerd. Coming up on the other side, Nate Taylor joined Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Going down swinging, Loaded COD Complex, cock it and pull it. That's what the Royals need to do tonight. That's what the Royals need to do tonight.
If you're the Royals tonight, just go out there and play like your kids again, right?
Yeah.
Just go out there and have fun. I know Big Poppy's still getting criticized for saying that, you know, the other night on the pregame show. Oh, he says go have fun. Yes, go have fun and play.
Somebody from the text line says, can I just say it was fantastic to hear the crowd boo the hell out of Jazz?
It was good.
And he go 0 for 4. Yeah. No luck involved there. A lot of good last night from that crowd.
Crowd was great last
night. I will
night.
Say this. If Mahomes is there again, please show him more.
Well, they showed him once, if
twice.
I'm not.
Twice.
Okay, I must
twice.
Have missed them one time.
And they
time.
Were very close together when they showed. I'm okay. Talking TV, I don't know about.
You got to lean into that, because every time that he yes. was on that screen, I mean, it was an eruption.
Yeah.
It was an absolute eruption. And
do you think he's going to be there tonight, or was last night his night out, now it's time to go on vacation? Because he did mention that with Brittany, right? Like, you got to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that, I don't know. I think it depends, right? Like, he could fly out at any time, at any moment, anywhere. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could fly out after the game tonight. Again, 7:08 is first pitch. Vern on deck show at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. But, I mean, where do they want to go? They want to go back to Texas?
Right. You could be there tonight.
I was going to say, you could be there by midnight.
Yeah, you really could,
I mean,
right?
Honestly.
Yeah, honestly, you
close
could.
To,
yep.
Close to downtown airport.
Right.
You know, you could get the escort. You're the technically the mayor of the city.
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, he is, yeah.
I mean, I hope he's there again tonight. Loved his energy. Loved his passion. Thanks to Marlins May for coming in and explaining us balls and strikes.
Yeah.
I love that. That is huge key. Because it is funny, like, that should have been a 2-1 game.
Yeah, but that's or if that game was played at Yankee Stadium last night, it was 2-2 after the first, because all those long fly balls would have been home runs at Yankee Stadium, and probably, I guess it was probably the second inning, probably would have been tied 2-2 had that been played in a smaller ballpark. Gurriel gets a home run there. Judge probably has a home run. Bobby's opposite field is a home run that right. turned into an out. So you're looking at probably a 2-2 ball game if that thing is played in New York last night.
I do want to have a quick conversation about this top text for the 913.
Okay.
Football player gets more cheers than baseball team. It's a football town. Salvador Perez's pop was bigger than Mahomes.
Yeah, come on now. What are we comparing that for, though? Can't we just embrace everybody? It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Not only that, Lorenzo Cain's pop.
Oh, my God.
Lorenzo Cain's pop was bigger than Mahomes when he was on the screen. Now, he was like in the seventh inning, I think, when they showed Lorenzo Cain. Maybe I'm wrong there. On the crown vision.
But that was such a surprise when he popped on the screen. Everybody lost it.
And I would also say that, you know, yes, it's Mahomes, and yes, he's the most popular person in this town. It's not even close. But I guarantee you, if it's the AFC Championship game and they show Bobby Witt Jr. on the Chiefs Jumbotron getting absolutely berserk nuts,
people are going to lose their minds.
The crowd would also lose their minds.
Like, if they show Bobby Witt beating the drum, which he's done in the past, the crowd's going to go crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to do that? Well, this guy's cheer was louder than this guy's cheer, which is louder. So this makes... No, come on, man. Like, this is the time we should just be embracing everything. Mm-hmm. We're a great sports city right now. We're the sports city that we've dreamt of in our entire lives. Oh, if we could just be a team that has the Royals and Chiefs do some good things and blah, blah, blah. We're doing great things. We've got the best quarterback in the world. We got the best shortstop in the world. And we're sitting here going, well, Mahomes got a bigger cheer, so it's a football town. Come on now. Let's not play that game. You think Patrick Mahomes is going, I got a bigger cheer than this guy and this guy? No. Mahomes is like, I got to fire up the crowd. Let's go. And he starts firing up the crowd and beats up Dieter. Like, people like that kind of stuff. That's fun. This is what it's about, having that kind of fun. We don't have to pit these two teams against each other in a football town or a baseball town and all that kind of stuff. We're a sports town, damn it.
Also, shout out, I know nobody cares, to the KC Comets. They came to my buddy's 8th grade girls soccer practice last night.
Oh, nice. That's fun. Yeah.
Pretty cool local stuff there as well.
Didn't cancel soccer practice with the Royals playing at 6 o'clock last night. He's a hard ass.
Hey, the Mustangs are undefeated. That's a team I helped coach last year. So shout out to the Mustangs as they go for a championship this year. And cool for just like that to happen. I know it's the KC Comets. You're like, oh, cool, Dusty. But like, they didn't have to do that. No. They don't know those girls. They went out there and those girls had fun with it. So shout out to that. Also, a weird thing happened to me last night. You know how we do this show early in the morning?
Right.
You ever have those moments where you like wake up sporadically and you're like, oh man, it's probably like 3 a.m.? I woke up last night. It was 1:04 in the morning and I thought it was going to be like 3 o'clock. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. And then the double standard happened. I woke up 5 minutes before the alarm.
Of course. Yeah, my body clock. I wake up, you know, right before the alarm. Or, like, you'll get that wake up, and you're like, okay, I can fall back to sleep for another 20 minutes or so. And then you fall back to sleep for another 20 minutes, and it's awful. And then you wake up, and you feel like you're hungover.
One of my favorite people in the media joins us now. It's time for some Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
It is Nasty Nate time. Consider yourself lucky, Nate Taylor, because we're talking Chiefs. Nate Taylor is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor joins Fesco and Dusty. Nate, let's get to the elephant in the room. Your boy, Rafael Nadal, calling it quits in the tennis world after 22 grand slams. What's that do for Nate Taylor?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, fellas. It's a little sad. It's a little sad. I have grown to love Rafael Nadal the further along he's gone in his career. You know, there was like a slim chance that one thought, based on how his body's deteriorating, obviously, hey, could he give us one more French Open, right? Could he give us one more Roland Garros? But his body hurts. He's got a baby boy. He doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And so because the Davis Cup is in Spain, his home country, this seems like as good a time as any to retire. And look, he played long enough for the other guy from his country to be amazing. And that, of course, is my favorite player right now on tour, Carlos Alcaraz. So I have no ill will towards Rafael Nadal. And, of course, a lot of people will remember that. It's not my favorite Wimbledon final, but, I mean, he did dedicate himself to beating Roger Federer at Roger Federer's peak on his favorite surface, which was Rafael Nadal's least favorite surface, which, of course, is grass at Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. So having been there over the past summer, it brings back all these memories. But, yeah, we really haven't seen Rafael Nadal play at a high level since, I want to say, like 2021, early 2022. And it kind of sucks that his last memorable match will be him kind of getting destroyed by Novak Djokovic, who remarkably is still playing well at the Olympics in France at the site of Roland Garros.
Isn't it, though, better for an athlete to maybe walk away, leaving you wanting more, though? I mean, we see it all the time, Nate, where these guys hang on and it's like Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals uniform. And you're like, oh, God.
Ooh,
like, we all have those guys that you're like, damn, you should have left when you were on top. And not that Rafael Nadal's on top, per se, but he's leaving you wanting more. And that should be the goal of every athlete. Don't leave and me go, God, you should have left 2 years ago.
Exactly. And to that point, too, I don't have to worry about Rafael Nadal maybe not, you know, producing the level I thought he was capable of based on his athleticism and his, you know, ability to hit a tennis ball. Man, that dude squeezed every freaking thing out of it. And he was, you know, one of the hardest players. You know, you always want athletes to care, and you never had to worry about whether Rafael Nadal cared or not, because he was trying to kill you, you know, with that left forehand that would kind of rise up and like hit you in the chest. And again, these are the best tennis players in the world, guys, and they all hated playing against him because he was such a fierce competitor. And, you know, I know the show did not go as well as I hoped it would, but there's this tennis show that was out a couple years ago called Breakpoint. Mm-hmm. And the literal best clip of that is Rafael Nadal getting inside poor Casper Ruud's head before the match even starts, in like the little like tunnel before they go out onto the court, and Rafael Nadal's going through his quote-unquote pre-match routine, which is him just like looking like a jackrabbit ready to like destroy his mentee, like the guy he helped train get at the top level. Hey, it's been nice knowing you, Casper Ruud. I'm going to kill you today. It's one of the greatest clips. If you can find it, look it up. Because that tells you, like, the mind of a competitor. where, like, hey, Casper Ruud, probably going to go in the Tennis Hall of Fame, been to multiple Grand Slam finals. He was never beating Rafael Nadal that day.
All right, so I want to ask you this. Look forward a little bit. If this season comes to a close, Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and Travis Kelce announces his retirement, will Travis Kelce be going out at the right time and leave you wanting more, or do you think Travis Kelce should stick around?
No, I'm... Okay, I'm going to go inside journalism here. I am preparing myself to be ready for when he retires at the end of the season, and I think it's understandable for me to inform our listeners, Chiefs fans, to kind of prepare themselves for this potentially being his last season in the NFL, because I think his contract sort of announced that to people if they really looked at it, like, hey, you're the highest paid tight end, and also, yeah, just add another year onto my deal, and, like, you know, that'll help you out if I actually do retire from a salary cap structure, you know, flexibility. He's 35, guys. He's the same age as Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski been out of the league for multiple years. I think him and Taylor Swift are obviously, you know, deepening their love. He's obviously got a lot of ideas as to what he wants to do after his career. Most notably, he can be a podcaster still, obviously, with his brother. There's still the chance for him to maybe do something with ESPN, because I think that was ESPN's idea when they brought Jason Kelce into their sort of corporation, more so than, like, letting Jason Kelce go somewhere else, right? So Jason Kelce's on Monday Night Football. Who knows what will happen with Travis Kelce? Of course, Travis wants to be an actor. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And, oh, by the way, like, if him and Taylor Swift do get married, like, they're at an age where, like, it's time to settle down. It's time to, like, you know, enjoy the other parts of adulthood that come after you've had, like, such a great individual career for both of them, right? So with all that said, he will not be leaving me wanting more. And that's okay. But I also know, too, he didn't hang on. And he wasn't someone where his body broke down to such a degree that it was kind of hard to see. I think that's one of the clear differences with football compared to any other sport. It's like, hey, man, I don't want you to be like Kobe Bryant. I don't want your Achilles to snap and I have to watch you shoot free throws and that be, like, kind of it. Now, it helps that Kobe Bryant came back and, of course, scored, like, what was it, 60 points in his last game that was utterly meaningless. But, hey, great times, Kobe. But with that said, I just feel like, hey, you get 12, 13 years in the NFL, you're already going in the Hall of Fame. Who knows what happens with the Chiefs, whether they win the Super Bowl or not. He will not leave me wanting more. I will be thrilled for him that he had a great career and his body didn't break down to the point that, like so many former players, you kind of grimace when you see them, you know, 5, 6, 10 years after their career.
Speaking of, like, 5 to 10 years after their career, I'm sure you've seen the video. It kind of goes into what everybody's wanting to know is if the Chiefs add a piece. Tyreek Hill, Nate, is sharing videos of his times with Kansas City via his Snapchat. What goes into that? Seriously, I'm so confused by this because I got scoffed at by another writing company that said I was in the wrong or I was egregious for thinking this, but, like, is he just doing this? I mean, like, that's like taking pictures of your ex-girlfriend and you on your Instagram story while you're in a new relationship. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah. This happens every now and then, ladies and gentlemen. And this is mostly on men because we're idiots. We're the idiots, okay?
Yes, we are.
So let's admit that first. You know, it's a great comparison, Dusty, because, yeah, man, you know, you got that pretty young thing down in Miami, and it's just not working out, and it's not your fault. You know, it's just sometimes life happens. I mean, it's unfortunate that Tua Tagovailoa got another concussion, and, you know, his career is basically in question, right? But then you look across from you, and you're like, dang, Samantha just stayed pretty, just stayed consistent. Her job stayed good. Dang, the house looks nice. I mean, did she change her hair color? Whoa. Okay. All right. How do I maintain a level of balance? It's really hard.
Yeah.
So it's okay to, like, admit it to your homies. It's okay to admit it to, like, your therapist. Hey, bro, I don't need to see them pictures. I do not need to see those pictures, and you don't need to put them out there, okay? Now, your contract's too big. They're not going to return your phone calls, and you're living in Miami, man. Things are okay. It could be worse,
yeah.
But I understand. Hey, man, you knew how fun that was back in that old days, and she looking fun now. You know, she looking mature. She looking healthy. I mean, she making anybody look good, and you know you damn well better than him.
Yep.
So, again, we've all been through it before, and it's okay, bro. Tell that to your therapist. Tell it to the homies. You cannot put those pictures online. You can't. You can't send videos of you doing well in a Chiefs uniform when you're getting paid by the Miami Dolphins.
No, I mean, it's just the whole thing is bizarre. You know, it's been bizarre since the day he was drafted here in Kansas City. I mean, it's just been one thing after another with that guy. But all that being said, Andy Reid, I think, showed why you don't need Tyreek Hill, which is what we've been preaching for years, you know, here. And it was a masterclass on Monday night, I thought, by Andy Reid. Okay, tonight's ass-whooping is going to be served by tight ends. Let's go. And Patrick Mahomes throws for 330 yards or whatever it was, 450 yards of total offense. And I thought Andy Reid and his staff, they put on a masterclass Wednesday night or Monday night.
Yeah. No, it's a perfect example. And I mean, you know, outside of the one turnover in the red zone, which I know is like,
well, that's rinse and repeat now, Nate, you know.
Outside of that, it was an efficient game. It's the best they've looked all season on offense, and that's even including how well Rashee Rice did against the Baltimore Ravens, of course, because they kept scoring points throughout the game. They obviously did not score, I believe, in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, which allowed the Ravens to kind of, you know, hang around and have a chance to win late. With the four tight ends, it's hilarious. They can bring Jody Fortson off the street, and I wonder if that's a little bit of the Tyreek Hill element, too. It's like, hey, Jody was my teammate like 3 weeks ago. Now he's catching passes from Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Like, hey, man, it's nice to not have a gigantic contract where you can just kind of go back to your old team. Noah Gray's been productive. Obviously, they can rely on Travis Kelce to a degree. And, I mean, who thought Kareem Hunt would play better? He actually, I know he didn't have like an explosive like 15, 20-yard gain, but he was consistent. He actually played better as the starter than when he came off the street and played pretty well in three quarters against the Los Angeles Chargers. So it is a masterclass because, hey, you don't have to, you know, expand Xavier Worthy's role just yet. You can wait for that to sort of naturally happen through the course of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster's like, okay, I guess it's time for me to go back to like 2022 Juju Smith-Schuster now that Rashee Rice is hurt. And they're like, great, we got all these plays that we can use. And, you know, the Saints really never adjusted to, hey, you might want to cover the middle of the field. It's wide open, guys, because whatever you guys are playing, they're sort of, you know, reacting to what your coverage is. It really was a masterclass. And if that interception does not happen, it's a laugher. So for everything that's occurred, I do get the sense now that, okay, the Chiefs, like a lot of those Patriot teams from, you know, a decade ago, would be like, okay, we originally thought this, then we found out our team was more like this, and we are going to lean into it, and it's going to take the league longer to adjust to our changes versus us proactively changing based on the situation, the circumstances, obviously the injuries. And, of course, it really helps if you got a great Hall of Fame coach and a great Hall of Fame quarterback.
Nate, what are you doing during the bye week this week with no Chiefs game on Sunday? Who are you watching and why?
Okay. I want to fall in love with Jaden Daniels. I really do. If he goes to Baltimore and the Commanders beat the Ravens, okay, he's been cemented, he's certified. I remember what it was like in 2018 when you really look up and you say, man, the season is really about just this one guy for a certain franchise. And Jaden Daniels is doing that in a way that is even more impressive than, like, you know, Robert Griffin III did back when he was a rookie starter for Washington. So that's the one game I'm really interested to see. It's also interesting that the league didn't think this game was going to be worth anything.
I got a story for you, though. I read this morning that NBC tried to flex the Giants-Bengals out of Sunday Night Football for that game, and CBS said no.
Now, see, this is where Roger Goodell has to step in. Hey, man. I know that you don't get all the adjudications right when it comes to suspensions. Hey, I know you have way too much power. if you have way too much power based on the collective bargaining agreement with the players union, and who cares about the you're going to be fine. You don't get the advertising dollars. I'm going to get you back right another time. But he really should have stepped in and said, hey, bro, like, have you seen this kid? Like, I know we had him on Monday night against Cincinnati. I don't want to watch Daniel Jones in primetime. Daniel Jones don't even want to watch himself in primetime.
Right.
Now,
right.
Now I get it. CBS is like, fine. We kind of want the game. But also, this is the one, guys. This is the one. You know, hey, by the way, all husbands, all boyfriends, like anybody with a significant other, you ain't got to watch that game on Sunday night. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to do it.
Right.
It's not important. Like, neither one of them teams going to the playoffs. It sucks for NBC. You ain't got to do it. So that's the one game I'll be watching. Hopefully we wake up Sunday and the Royals have done, you know, a little mini improbable comeback in a postseason series with the Yankees. But no, that's the one game that I really care about. We'll see what the Chargers do. We'll see what the Raiders do with Aiden O'Connell. I mean,
ugh,
good Lord. But, man, you know, hey, that's what we have this weekend. It's not a great slate of games. So, again, if you want to go to the Pumpkin Patch,
hey,
if you want to go down to Lewisburg,
hey,
get cider in you, do your thing, guys.
Well, All right. Thanks, Nate. Now I've got to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta on Sunday night for about five straight episodes.
Hey, buddy, I got to watch Love is Blind, and I've already heard it's terrible this season. Look, you know, get it live, my man. Get it live.
Yes, sir. Hey, Nate, enjoy the week off, and then we'll talk to you next Thursday and get ready for a Chiefs game next week. So take care, man. I appreciate the time.
Yes, anytime, fellas.
Big one next week. That's the San Francisco Super Bowl rematch, huh?
That's right.
Who do the Jets have this week?
Robert Saleh.
Oh, Monday night they play the Bills. That's right.
Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Also, don't forget today at 2 p.m., Cody and Gold, the two studs from 10 to 2. They're handing out 100 playoff-themed T-shirts in our station parking lot. That address is 7000 Squibb Road. 2 p.m.
Line
today.
Up now.
Thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law. We'll be right back here on Fesco and Dusty as we get into our smash or pass here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Your home, KSC Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Thursday. One more day to the
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Greatest day of the week, which is Friday, which is obvious. Thanks to Nate Taylor who joined the show.
Just got a text from my wife, Dusty.
Uh-oh.
Did you know Marlins Man was at the game last night?
Thanks for listening. Is that what you sent back?
No.
Okay. Tread lightly is what you're saying?
No. What I sent back was, did you know he was just in studio?
She was giving me a lot of grief yesterday, too.
For what?
Because I was on the fields doing stuff for social media,
right,
you know, letting us know that the station was there and, you know, boots on the ground, whatnot.
Right.
Ship is docked in KC. And she's like, show off. I'm like, okay. I was like, you're around your husband too much.
You know, it's good. I mean, it's fun to be out there. I thought last night, besides the final result, it was good. It's just good to have postseason baseball back in Kansas City. And, you know, some people would say, oh, that's a defeat. That's not a defeatist attitude. It was so good walking into that stadium for a big event again, you know, and, you know, you get used to not having those big events. And I don't want to get used to not having those big events. And I don't think John Sherman wants to get not used to having those big events. And so they got back to the postseason this year. And now this is like, okay, this is now what we can expect going forward. We're seeing how JJ operates. We're seeing how Q manages. And we're seeing, more importantly than anything from this whole run, has been how John Sherman and the ownership group of the Kansas City Royals are going to operate. And it's completely different than what we experienced for 25 years with David Glass running this franchise. And I was talking to some folks last night that, you know, were with the organization, obviously, when Glass was around, and now, and they're like, it's so refreshing to see John Sherman and company open the pocketbook, because that's ultimately what was the difference, in my opinion, of getting into the playoffs this year. You had the core. 13 of these guys were developed and drafted by Dayton Moore that are on this roster, but you needed to fill in the holes, right? You needed that veteran presence of a Lugo and a Waka. And JJ laid out his plan and said, this is what we want to do. We want to infuse this team with some veteran talent. And John Sherman let him. In years past, like, Glass wouldn't allow Allard Baird to sign Raul Ibanez to like a $4 million a year contract in 2003. They wouldn't allow them to spend that money. They were like, well, if you get there and you show it, then you can spend the money, right? Well, it doesn't work that way. And John Sherman is showing you how it's proper to run this franchise. Yeah, you got a great core that was established over the last few years, great drafting in 18 and 19. And here we sit. What do you need? Well, give me a guy at the top of the rotation. Okay, here's Seth Lugo. Give me, a bat. Here's Hunter Renfroe or whatever the case may be. And they were able to supplement. And that's what I like most about this season. We saw John Sherman say, enough with the losing. We're not doing this crap anymore. We're going to spend money on this team. And they spent, what, $105 million roughly in contracts when you factor in the Bobby Witt deal and all that. Like, it's a new era in Kansas City. And that's what last night was. The beginning of, all right, this is the John Sherman era now in Kansas City. And it's good.
Let's see your talent.
Smash or pass is what we do every Thursday around this time. Mac, lead the way, my man.
Yeah, what do y'all think? I was with some friends trying to come up with some good smash or passes while I was watching the Royals game last night. Canned tuna, pickled relish, sweet or regular, and mustard.
No.
Smash.
Pass.
There's only two or one question I have. Is the canned tuna in water or is it in like that other stuff?
Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the oil. Yeah, I think the oil.
Ugh. I like it in the water.
You got to have it in water.
I like it in the water.
Solid white tuna in water.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whichever canned tuna you
like. I used to love smashing those tuna kits back in the day.
Those were good, but you didn't put the mustard turns me off on
that.
Oh,
I like the mustard. I don't like
mustard and tuna, huh?
I do. In the summertime, I'll do this a lot. I'll get the white tuna in water. I'll dehydrate the hell out of it. Like, put it in a couple paper towels and like squeeze it dry to where it's just completely dry. Put it like in Tupperware. One part mustard, one part mayo, Tabasco sauce, minced garlic, and I chop up a pickle and then mix it all together, put it on some wheat toast. Ugh. That's what I'm talking
about. What's your talent?
That's right, baby.
I like tuna, but the mustard thing is no. And I think the relish in tuna, too, is
mustard gives it that little bite, you know?
I mean, just give me a little celery, onion, and some mayonnaise
that
in tuna.
That sounds great. Yeah. That sounds fantastic.
I can celery, do that. Onion,
some
and tuna,
dill,
man.
You know, yeah, some dill. Dill. Yeah, put some fresh dill on top. Now you're talking.
Nah, it's more talented with mustard and mayo and vinegar. You got to get that vinegary bite.
What's your talent?
No chance. I don't want that in my tuna.
Smash.
Okay, what about maple syrup on scrambled eggs?
You know, I've never purposely done it, but when I've had
it seeps over
it
on
seeps
the plate.
Over, it's good.
Disgusting. It's good, I know.
It's good. No, it really is. It's good. Especially
it sounds
the
terrible.
Egg, like the scrambled egg cooked a little tougher, like a harder scrambled egg, and it kind of seeps over
Speaking
and you get
language.
It in. No, I think it's good. I'm not going to get out there and pour it on there.
Ew.
But when it seeps over and it gets a little on there,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm okay
absolutely
with that.
Not. I hate sweet and salty.
Okay.
Wow. So
chocolate covered pretzels.
Yeah, you're out.
Oh, really? Whoa. Okay. Yeah, I'm in on that.
You know, Reese's like has them now.
What'd
in the
you
bags.
Call them?
Oh yeah, you're right. I did do that. I think it's Reese's. Is Reese's? I don't know.
It's not Reese's.
It's not Reese's. And
you know,
do not
funny?
Open
I think
that can.
I think
do
I
not.
Call it Reese's. I don't know why I said that. Maybe I was saying it because it was in different context. I don't know. Reese's has them.
Yeah.
Chocolate covered pretzels. They're fantastic.
Recording finished. no, I don't. Okay, I should take this back.
Reese's has a frozen dessert treat that's amazing, too.
They also have, like, those Reese's chocolate-covered
bananas. Have you had them?
Yes, they're insane.
Are they?
They're so
they're
good.
Insane. And then they have now strawberries.
Oh.
Whoa.
You want to have a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Go get some of those strawberries, Dad.
All right.
You'll get you some of them strawberries,
but they're like
Daddy.
Ice cream you'll sandwich. It's just...
You'll reenact that 9.5 weeks movie.
Like peanut butter ice cream coated in just a chocolate coating. It's a circle Ooh. Shape. It looks like... Oh, it's so
Gosh.
Delicious.
You'll have Jen in the kitchen on by the refrigerator playing your best Mickey Rourke.
All right.
I don't know if Mac gets that reference.
I don't.
That was the first porn I ever saw. It was 9.5 weeks. And then Monsters Ball. First two porns I saw. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know the first two porns I saw.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
I don't.
I don't know.
I don't.
You, yeah.
I bet Bob's mind was blown when he got to get rid of the magazines.
Well, I did. I grew up on magazines. The Barbie twins were like, you know, that was the best Playboy you could get.
Bob, when Bob found out that his phone was a device to send him into an oblivion, he went, I got to take this phone call, Jen. I'll be right back.
You know, I'm not that into it, to be honest with you. It's not my thing.
They say it ruins a sex life.
I just, not my thing.
Tuna, relish, and Miracle Whip is what somebody said.
Miracle Whip sucks.
I also hate this is the one that gets my friends mad at me, the McGriddle. Speaking of sweet and salty.
See, that's your syrup on your egg.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people love that. Oh, yeah. Also, the Reese's covered animal crackers. Good God. I had a whole bag.
Oh, I saw those
I was like Bruce Bungtrutter and Matilda, man. I had like a chocolate ring around my mouth.
I just can't buy the whole thing.
I got to the bottom of the bag. You ever done this? You get to the bottom of the bag and you start to feel around. You're like, oh, God,
There's nothing left. Damn. Yeah. Happens with Dots pretzels to me. Kids always want the Dots pretzels, and they found a hiding place where I don't know where they are in the house, so they can have them, and I don't know where they are, and that's good.
Mm-hmm. Which flavor is your favorite?
Oh, the original.
Okay, just the original.
Yeah, we went out here to where they are over in Lenexa a couple of years ago. They took us on a tour. I think it was after COVID. Mm-hmm. It was after COVID. We took a tour and watched them make the Dots pretzels. It was awesome.
Somebody says from the 816, if, quote, my first two porns isn't a poll question the rest of the day, you messed up. Blake Schneider is a good producer here, says my first porn was the Titanic scene. Can you paint me like your French girls, Jack? Mm-hmm.
You know that boat sunk, right?
Yep. You know what boat hasn't sank? The Royals Caribbean Cruise. You know how I know that? Because Vern's on the show right after this on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.